morning 7:38 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. I'm pleased to be joined now by Mark Faulkner. He is the president and CEO of Baptist Healthcare. Good friend of the station and always available when I have questions like I do today. Mark, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you, Andrew. Good morning.
Great to have you. So we got some kind of serious stuff that I've been talking about for the last couple of days, and since you guys are right in the thick of it, I wanted to get your perspective on this. First, what came up last week in the Committee of the Whole meeting, the Escambia County Commission, was the idea that we are underserving our uninsured population that does not have access to detox facilities for alcohol and drugs, that basically they're having to go all the way over to Panama City because they cannot get treatment here. Can you maybe shed a little bit light on if that really is a serious problem, or maybe how this works so that we can understand whether that's something that needs to be fixed?
Sure. It is an issue, certainly, as we have chronically underfunded this particular service in the state and frankly around the country. And so the lack of those available beds for those that lack any funding causes those patients to now travel east to Panama City, Fort Walton, even further than that for stabilizing care, more of a short-term residential. With respect to the impact on hospitals, it's really not been any different than what we've been running, frankly, because those patients that are acute enough and facing a detox or overdose situation are going to come to the hospitals anyway. So we continue to see those patients and all the facilities as we try to stabilize them, get them through that acute episode, and then find placement for them for the longer-term residential treatment and addiction. Now, obviously, given what's happening in the community and society, we are seeing those numbers climb, and so that pressure it continues to place on our facilities is not negligible.
Okay, so there is an end byproduct impact on the hospitals because we're not doing, we have more consumption of more dangerous substances, and also we're doing less right now to really help those folks before they get into that dangerous situation with the detox facilities. But okay, so that's useful to know. It is a problem, but it's not exactly your purview to handle. What is more your purview, and this was the main reason I wanted to have you on this morning, is when talking to Wes Moreno about this, county administrator, talking to Alex Andrade about this, I talked to the sheriff about this, West Florida Hospital, which of course you do not control, they are a separate hospital, but the way I understand it is that they are ending their intake of Baker Act patients, and that is going to have a cascade effect on you guys, who are the now only local Baker Act intake facility. Is that right?
That's correct. We were notified last week in a letter from DCF, West Florida's intentions to close down their facility intake services effective Tuesday, August 23rd, so a couple week notice. So we are scrambling to figure out ways that we can accommodate that volume. This is not just a Baptist issue. This is a community issue, frankly. You know, we see about 100 Baker Act patients a week. West Florida sees about 70, according to their data. As we speak right now, our 8-bed unit in our receiving facility is full, and we've got a very high census over in our inpatient. So the way it works is the Baker Act patients come to the intake facility within the emergency department, which for us is 8 rooms, and then they're stabilized, and we can determine, can we lift a Baker Act and discharge them, or do we need to place them in an inpatient facility or some sort of outpatient treatment. And so it's that receiving facility that West Florida is ending those services, and so those 70 patients per week by default will come to Baptist. Challenges, we're operating at capacity very, very frequently. We are the only receiving facility in Santa Rosa and Escambia County once Tuesday arrives. And so we are deeply concerned as a community. The next closest receiving facility is in Fort Walton. And so by default, if we're at capacity, there's going to be spillover. We'll have to be on the version. And the way that impacts others in the community, you know, the law enforcement, like police departments and sheriff offices and EMS is, you know, if we're at capacity, then that puts a burden on them to find another placement and intake facility. We've been underserved as a community, Andrew.
Uh-huh.
We have a population in the full county area of over 800,000. And previously, we've had 3 intake facilities. Now we're going down to 2. So 800,000 people, 2 intake facilities. As opposed to District 2, which is the Tallahassee area, they've got about half the population with 5 intake facilities. And so we've already always operated at a max capacity. These newest developments will clearly be problematic.
Wow. So we were already way behind in our capacity, and now we're cutting that capacity by a significant margin, 40% or so. And, you know, what is the solution here? And, you know, which long term, is there a solution long term? I mean, I guess you can't force anybody to take these patients. I'm glad you guys are, you know, because that's serving the community. I love that. But, you know, long term, what's the answer? And short term, what's going to happen?
Great question. So we're concerned about the now and the near and the far. And we're a private organization as well. We're just a locally governed not-for-profit, but we're still a private organization. And there's no mandate for us to continue to be in a big red receiving facility status. However, we're a mission-based organization, and that's clearly our intent. What we're doing immediately is making sure the systems bring all kids and adolescents to Baptist. As difficult as this situation is on everyone, it's particularly difficult on children and families. And if you can imagine a child in some sort of acute distress situation, being Baker acted and then being sent to Tallahassee or Panama City for care is just unacceptable. So we effective immediately, we will receive all kids and adolescents throughout the region. We are also working with the leadership at West Florida to see if we can get some delay or extension of the adult intake until we can scramble to figure out the resources. We've been talking with DCF. We've been talking with all the other local stakeholders like EMS and law enforcement and the counties, our local delegation, the school districts, to come together with some sort of patchwork to get us through this immediate landfall, as I would describe it, that occurs on Tuesday. Then we can pull up and figure out what is the long-term solution. Is it to continue to expand capacity at Baptist to be able to receive and accommodate all the patients, or is there another model that might create an additional intake resource in our community that might be more of a quasi-governmental function?
Mm-hmm.
We're working through those as we speak. Our delegation with Saltzman and Andrade and Senator Broxton, they've been extremely helpful and engaged in this process, as have been the other stakeholders. So we're going to continue over the next several days to think about longer-term solutions, but right now we're just bracing for the impact of what will be occurring next week.
Yeah, I mean, it's a catastrophic sudden shortfall in our ability to handle, and I think everybody just assumes, well, you know, the cops pick you up for a Baker Act and they take you somewhere. Well, where? You know, there has to be a where to go, and you know, you guys can't take everybody. You're just not capacity for that that problem. Mark, just a couple of other things I wanted to get updates from you on. One is the hospital progress. We're still on track, and do we know anything about the future? Have we made any moves about the future of the current site?
Well, thanks for asking. Yeah, as we speak, I'm actually at this new campus. We've got some meetings later this morning, and progress continues to be on schedule, which is an amazing feat, given the supply chain challenges that we've been dealing with.
I bet.
On site today, we have well over 800 construction workers. Happy and proud to say half are minority, half are locals. We're still engaging every local and sub vendor at every possibility to keep the dollars here. But the 10-story hospital is basically dried in, as is the Bear Family Foundation Health Center. That's our 6-story building that will accommodate physician offices, outpatient services. And then we're coming out of the ground as we speak with our replacement behavioral health unit. Again, as we continue to invest in this much-needed service, as reflected by this replacement campus, strictly for inpatient behavioral health patients as well. So we're really pleased with the progress. We'll be moving in about a year, and that's going to be an exciting day and a challenging day we're already planning for. We'll literally start the day on E Street and then the day on Brent Lane with our patients, our service, our staff. So planning is already underway, well on your way for that day next September. So all is well. We're excited about the progress, excited about the feedback we're getting from the community. Not only is this something that we're proud for Baptist and our team and our caregivers, but also we're proud of the community. I think this is something that is exciting as Pensacola continues to develop in many, many positive ways. We want to be a part of that, and we think healthcare, and specifically diabetes healthcare, is an important piece of that puzzle. Going to your second question, what about East Street? What about the existing campus? Yes, when we move in the fall of next year, we will be vacating that campus. And of course, we, over the last couple of years, have engaged the community through a community advisory council. We surveyed everyone within a 1 mile radius of the campus. What do you want to see happen with these 51 acres? As we move away, what is the best use for the community? What meets the needs of Baptists? What's economically viable? And we heard housing, affordable, attainable housing, workforce training, community services, some primary care healthcare services. So we have submitted that project out for a bid, basically, for developers. We've had over 50 developers express interest.
Oh, wow.
And learning more about this campus. So we'll be, as we enter into the fall, we'll be receiving those proposals from potential developers that have a like mission, like a vision as we do, and as the city does, and as the county does, and other stakeholders. We're working through that, hoping to come up with some proposals for that old campus that can convert it to something that's equally impactful to the community.
Well, I love it. I love the idea that so many have expressed an interest, because, you know, the concern is, hey, we got a thing we want to develop, and you get three offers, and you're like, oh, I wish I had more variety, but 50 is a lot, so I will take that as good news. Mark Faulkner, he is the president of Baptist Health, the president and CEO of Baptist Healthcare. As always, Mark, thank you for the information. Please pass on to your people how much we appreciate the work that they do to help the community in all the areas we don't see and some of the ones that we do learn about. And thank you for the time this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.